With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there.
Welcome back to
Babysitting Trevor.
Episode 2, Season 3 with me, Chris Martin.
Me, Carl Donnelly.
I'm excited.
Yep.
I'm excited about this one.
We did a funny group task this week.
Went to a horror film.
Yeah.
I don't like scary films.
Well, you don't like horror films. I assumed Trevor would hate horror films, and I love horror films. So we've got the full sort of spectrum of response to horror.
Yeah. We're going to see It in the cinema. It. And I don't know. For some reason, I thought, do you know what it was? I thought it was going to be a really hairy guy. And it was just now that was Cousin It I was thinking of. I literally thought that was the baddie in it.
That would be the shittest horror film.
I call it a baddie. That's not how much I hate horror films. And then we got Trevor's individual task this week was to... read some of The Power of Now.
Yeah. Very famous. It's actually a very easy book to read very quickly. It's quite short.
Although when you read
large
it...
large print.
I've read it. It does say just read each
chapter. Oh, take
a moment
time. Yeah.
And think about what you've
but,
read.
But I mean, theoretically, you could whack through it in a day or two.
You could skim it. I still don't think Trev would have read
no,
it.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm saying somebody who really went for it could theoretically read it in a couple of days.
Yeah.
But I think we're safe to say.
I have a feeling he didn't do that. He's probably... He now just goes... freestyle on his poems.
I know. Do you reckon the herb garden's up and running?
I don't know if it's going to be up and running. It'd be good if he owned some seeds.
Okay.
That would be it. So let's find out how Trev got on this week.
Yes.
Trev.
Welcome back.
Hello, chaps. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, mate. How are you?
Child wagging.
Tails wagging. You just told us just before we went on air that you thought you had cancer this
week.
Yeah,
I did.
Again.
Yeah. I'm a really bad hypochondriac. I mean, really bad.
I think our listeners are well aware of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I go online and what happened was I had a swelling in my gum and then I went to the dentist.
By the way, on this, you asked us about it when we last recorded. You said you got a swelling in your gum and we just went, oh, it'll just be a...
Yeah.
And the sort of the first sign of like just a flu-y illness thing.
Mm.
And did that not calm you at all?
No, because I always look for gaps in your reasoning.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, but they're not fucking dentists or they're not doctors. And I think there's a bit of a gap in their argument. Then I start to get paranoid. Then I'm sick again. So that's how it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Even at the doctors, I go, well, I went to the dentist, but she's not a fucking doctor. And then I go to the doctor, say, well, she's not a fucking dentist.
So you basically need a doctor-dentist.
Yeah, that's right.
I need hybrid. Yeah.
They exist,
study,
apparently.
They
exist. Doctor-dentists have found out they do exist.
No. In this country?
Yeah.
It's quite good, though, if you go... after you've done my mouth, can you check my balls or whatever? It's kind of quite useful.
Yeah, no, I check my... check my balls after checking my mouth, I think.
That's the way around, you definitely go.
But no, the doctor told me, no, there is people that are dentists and fuck, they're fucking doctors as well.
It must be so old. It's so long to train for.
I've been studying for so long.
In so much debt.
So I had this fucking swelling in my lip and then I lifted it up like that. I saw a white patch. I thought, what the fuck's that? You know what I mean? And then I go online, hypochondriac, go on fucking line. Oh, fuck. Could be anything, but could be cancer.
But couldn't everything be cancer?
Everything could be cancer, basically. So then I really get, I delve into it online.
Another clue after writing.
Yeah, I delve into it, personal stories of people who had cancer. It all started off as a white patch. Oh, fuck. Then I go to Julia, I've got fucking cancer. And then I read all the symptoms and I get the symptoms. Suddenly I can't swallow properly. I think my glands are up, and they weren't. But then next one, I'm in a bad state. I've got to fucking lie down. And Julia said, no, there's nothing. You've got a swollen fucking gum. I said, no, it's worse than that. It's cancer.
Worse than a swollen gum.
I hate that word cancer. I should change the fucking name to something more positive, like daffodil or something.
I've got the big D
because I'm this fucking Jack the Dancer. That's like a Cockney rhyming slang for cancer. It's a fucking frightening word, isn't it? As soon as you hear it, you fucking spin it.
Do you not? There's a star sign as well. Why don't you sort of visualise that?
A star sign?
Yeah, cancer's a star sign.
Okay. Oh, well, fucking astrology is a load of shit.
That'd be the worst if that was your star sign.
Yeah, that's right.
What star sign are you? I'm daffodil, mate.
So I'm panicking and I couldn't sleep all night, tossing and turning. I got the symptoms and feeling I can't fucking swallow properly, which one of the symptoms are oral cancer. And then I thought I had an earache. Well, that's a tie into my fucking, the whole fucking...
Oh, no.
Yeah, like a comedy triad thing. Then anyway, so Julia booked me into the doctors and I'm really hate waiting for results, you know what I mean? So I'm on the way to the doctors and I'm like nearly passing out. I get that worked up. I'm feeling quite faint, you know what I mean? And I'm just imagining she's going to say the big C. You've got it, Trev. Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Your career babysitting Trevor is going to be only two series.
It's called Burying Trevor.
That's right. Burying Trevor.
Remembering Trevor.
We'll do a posthumous. We'll have a guest each week just telling
us
tales.
I go into the surgery, just me and another woman in there, and I'm like just about passing out because I'm fucking feeling faint and paranoid. So she goes in there and I said, Doctor, I'm a hypochondriac, I'm very sensitive. Whatever you say, I'll take it the wrong way. You've got to be very careful talking to me.
I love that, laying your ground rules before you see the doctor.
Whatever you say, I'm not going
to
believe.
How did they react to that?
She said, okay.
She might get, I'm guessing like there will be listeners who must, I'm a bit hypochondriac, I'm not that bad. Yeah. There must be people listening to this who will resonate. So she must get that a bit.
Yeah. And she was very highly attractive. Attractive doctor.
Yeah, I was just thinking of remembering Trevor though, and just thinking like presumably you'll the first person to remember you will be your doctor for having so many visits from Trev.
That's right. I've irritated doctors over the years because I went through phases with my hypochondria. Like when I was younger, I looked really bad. I thought I had heart disease, so I was constantly going to this one doctor who's getting really pissed off with me, putting me up to machines and checking. Nothing wrong with your heart. I'd go home and get palpitations. I'd go, I'm fucking dying. You know what I mean? Like, and I'd go back, and he just got the shit with me. Eventually, just said, "Listen, there's nothing wrong with your heart."
It's cold.
Yeah, I know. It sort of freaked me out a bit.
You know, on the cancer thing, it's a weird thing to be talking about on a comedy podcast, but
with 10 minutes on cancer.
Just daffodils, guys.
Season 3, mate. The wheels have come off.
You said you've got low risk. We went to, me and my wife went to do an exercise. We started going to exercise classes together, which is... also made me laugh because Carl went for a jog with his girlfriend today.
We've done two this week. Two modern men exercising with our partners,
not knocking our partners over sofas like you do, Trev.
The old school.
But this woman running this Pilates class was a bit... She's a bit nutty. Nutty, is that PC? I don't know anymore. But anyway, she was a bit eccentric.
Yeah.
Like she had a bit of a weird edge to her.
Yeah.
And then, has anyone got any injuries? And then Hannah went, I've sort of injured my ankle a bit. She went, get a rebounder. Like that. She goes, get a rebounder. If you don't know what that is, like a sick little trampoline, right? Get a rebounder, right? Jump up and down, keeps the flow of lymph going, and you'll have absolutely no chance of getting cancer. She said that definitively. So now I've said that to Trev.
Yeah, I'll get one of those.
Yeah. Trev's going to get a rebounder.
Well, that says that obviously there are vegans out there, who, as I'm aware of as part of the vegan community, who reckon basically veganism is the best defense.
It is actually, cancer.
But the problem with it is like there's a timing fit. I'm not going to name the person because someone I know is the assistant to a quite famous person.
Yeah.
And he's vegan. And this person's sister just sadly passed of Daffodil recently. Yeah. And right. He immediately went, mate, stop pushing your agenda now. Something just happened.
Well, that's what I mean. There are some people that are just categorical about vegan, you can't get cancer. That's not, of course you can.
I mean, it's in your genes. It can be like one mutation you fuck, basically. You know what I mean? And it could trigger that bit of radiation.
If you come from a family where everyone else has had
that's right.
You know, you can eat as many fucking bags of spinach as you want. The daffodil's coming for you.
Yeah, that's right.
The big daffodil's going to hunt you down.
A whole fucking bunch of them.
Yeah. But anyway, the good news is you're...
Have you got any history of it in your family?
No, I haven't.
Trev, you're fine, mate. Just jump up and down a few times.
You live a good lifestyle.
We should go for runners a fucking task, shouldn't we? We should do that.
We should go.
Now I've got into running.
What about taking him to Trampoline World?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
It's really fun.
What if I told you it would give you no chance of getting daffodil?
If I'm 3 inches off the ground, I'm nervous.
Oh really? I don't like imagine on those, you know, when you bounce the trampoline as someone lands and they fly. Imagine the church face. Oh, fucking hell. No,
I just bouncing doesn't suit my personality.
No, I can't. But skipping, you love skipping, though.
I do. I used to love skipping when I could do it. Fuck, too heavy now in my knees.
You've given us a skip demonstration.
I was a hell of a skipper, actually. Hell of a skipper.
All right. Well, next we'll find the group activity that involves sort of running or.
Actually, at Clapham Junction, they've got like an exercise station.
All right.
And they've got a fucking a running track.
So. We should go do some laps.
Should we do a relay?
What are we passing? Yeah. Just passing a daffodil to each other.
Tuba Jaffa Cakes.
Who's going to take the home leg? I reckon Trev's quite quick, actually, for an old boy. Were you quite good
at 100? Should we have a 100-metre race?
100-metre race would be good.
I'm slow.
I'm quite slow as well.
A mate of mine who goes on body types and running says you're an ideal middle distance runner. That's me.
Yeah. I was actually very good at middle distance.
Oh, were you really?
I was very good at 800 metres. Well, I used to train for it when I was 10 by running around my block. Never told my friends at school. Out of nowhere, I came second in the years 800 metres.
I just kept
it under my under wraps.
I used to run past girls because I thought it looked sexy the way I moved. When I was about 12, I used to run past girls in my shorts.
In sports time, or just in round the or like in the hallway?
Oh, just in the street anyway. I'd see some attractive girls, I'd sprint past them like that.
But then ultimately, you were then running away from them. So there was no chance of ever having a conversation.
But I was running once with my shorts on, and then someone yelled out, "Your nuts are hanging out." And I looked down, and one of my testicles was actually hanging out of my fucking shorts. I didn't wear underpants. Actually, that was not that long. I think it was about 18.
Toothless, smelly bloke with his
didn't wear
underpants. You know, it keeps everything up, doesn't it? One piece.
That is amazing.
That were the fucking days, anyway.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I envisage that it's going to be very violent, a lot of blood, a lot of special effects. And to be honest, I think it's going to be rather poor.
So, the group task, Trev, this week was all of us went to a horror screening.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Of a movie.
And it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was surprised to know that you don't mind horror, really.
Yeah, I used to love them when I was a kid. I used to like the B-grade, but I call them B-grade, but I thought they were great. Godzilla, and yeah, the original Godzilla, not the one they've remade it and it's fucked. Yeah.
They've remade loads of them as well.
Yeah, it's short on ideas.
So many Hulk and Godzilla films.
Yeah, when you're remaking Godzilla, you're short on fucking ideas as far as coming up with something new, guys.
Yeah.
But I like more psychological stuff, you know what I mean? I don't like gratuitous violence. And you know, the clown was the main fucking thing, wasn't he?
What did you make of the clown?
I told you, I don't find clowns funny or fucking scary. I don't.
Just totally neutral towards
clowns.
They
need to be rounded up, mate. They need to be rounded up and fucking sorted out. Fucking
sorted
the
out.
The clown cull of 2017.
I don't like gratuitous violence, but I want to kill all the clowns. Right,
that'd great. Be a film that we'd make. Kev.
Fucking great. Great.
I've called you Kev. Sorry, mate.
Now, the great clown massacre of 2017. Wipe the cunts out.
Have you ever?
There's loads of clowns watching a film just called Trev. Yeah. It's just you popping up with your nut hanging out, wielding a sword.
But I thought I did think he acted very well. I thought he was like the best actor.
I thought, the guy, he's one of the Skarsgård clan, isn't he?
The clown. What does that mean?
There's loads of Skarsgårds. You know, there's Skellen Skarsgård.
Are they all
the
like a family?
Yeah, there's the Scandinavian family. The dad you'd recognise. He's in loads
they're
of
like
stuff.
The Baldwins of Sweden.
They're all, yeah, but they're so tall.
I just got back from Norway, actually, where without fail, every time you get there, they have the most attractive... It's like they intentionally put the most attractive person on passport security to go, this is just a little taste of what you're about to see.
Whereas when you come to like Gatwick or something, you just get the most miserable people. I flew back from Portugal last Thursday night and they just the girl who was directing people to the electric passport gates was so like
just a grumpy cold person in a purple
gosh, like does everyone move down the line, please? Just move down the line, yeah?
Yeah,
right. Like people just got off. People come off a long flight.
A little
you're like,
short.
Get in the right lane. Have you got an e-passport or not?
Yeah, very stumpy people. They're stumpy and short and generally unattractive.
People at British airports.
They put the Oompa Loompas in the British airports.
There's a certain type, that they tend to put on border control.
Yeah, because they've always got those shows, and there's that Australian one where they do...
A border check or whatever.
Whatever it's called. Yeah, and they find it like, they find Trev's got no bags.
Yeah.
Or they find someone from China's got a whole roast pig in her bag. But the Swedish one would be great. It would just be just really beautiful people. Yeah.
They should do that. They should have more attractive people at Gatwick Airport.
Yeah, I think so. Because
ultimately, people are then going to come through and it's going to take them ages to get their bags and then they're going to realise they're way out of London.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ain't London Gatwick, mate. Yeah, that's like Luton and Stansted.
They need attractive
London.
People everywhere. Fuck. Ugly people and clowns need to be rounded up and put in like pens.
Pens?
Pen them.
Is this part of Trevor's stand?
Yeah.
But then part of Trevor's stand. Who would define what ugly is?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
It's very subjective.
It's very subjective.
Anyone who...
None of us might make the cut. We might end up in a pen.
Worst is if you're an ugly person, you've made yourself look like a clown to cover it up, and then you find out, turns out they're clowning us as well, mate. Oh, God! There's no safety in this world.
I mean, I think I'm quite cute looking, but then I look in the mirror, and I go, fucking no, I'm not. I'm fucking shocking.
All right, so would you have to round yourself up?
I'd have to round myself up, fucking twist my arm up the fucking own back. And
yeah, so who would you let to be the adjudicator on this?
Well, look around here, because you're quite attractive, but you need more hair.
Thanks, mate.
You are structurally sound.
Asymmetrical. That's symmetrical.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, you're attractive in a classical sense. Got very nice eyes. Are they blue?
They are blue, yeah.
Yeah, lovely eyes.
Thanks, mate. Really nice eyes, yeah. They're actually my strongest feature.
Yeah, you've got a good jawline as well. Yeah. I think Chris has a strong jaw.
Cheers, guys.
You've got like a bit of a...
My hair's a bit wet at the moment. It's a bit all over the place.
No, look quite becoming your hair.
Anyway. This is good. Are you trying to kill everyone else? It's just you and me left on this planet, Trev. Is that it?
We've got Joel.
What do you think of producer Joel?
Joel's all right, isn't he? He's got a nice smile.
He's got a nice smile. He's smiling. He's got a nice smile.
Nice smile. He's an exuberant personality.
He's got a good head of hair on him, I think.
A very good head of
hair. Trevor, you've got a, I have to say, you have got a decent mop on top. This is bearing in mind you're of a, you know, ambiguous age.
That that's right.
You've got decent lids.
I do. This is, I've always had my hair. John Bishop, the comedian, he accused me of dyeing it. And I said, no, I don't dye it. It's just fucking natural colour. He said, oh, fucking bullshit. I said, no, I don't fucking dye my hair, John. I don't. And I don't. It's just all natural.
It's a funny beef to have with John Bishop.
Yeah, fuck Bishop, man.
Yeah, fuck Bishop.
Go with Bishop.
Scouse cunt.
His accusations.
My hair,
I tell you what, he's got a lovely head of hair.
He's got a lovely jawline as well. We're talking about it. Housewife's favourite.
But my hair, I tend to deteriorate as you go down though. You know what I mean? Like,
top of your head is where you peak.
Yeah, and then your feet are just horrible, are they?
Yeah, no. But I'm talking about my face and my forehead, and then my nose is a bit big, I think. Anyway, my mouth's a fucking mess. I got my lips look like an open crisp packet. I do. The lips are quite thin, I've got to be objective. I'm, you know, I visualise myself as being quite good looking, but I think I'm trying to. Julia said, no, you're not particularly physically attractive in a normal sense, but if you put it all together, like your personality and your wit, then it's an attractive package. It won't show up in a photograph because nothing comes across but the image.
You need
your image is quite
audio ordinary. Photograph.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
A photograph, a little speaker on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
If you tell him one of your tales.
Yeah, that's
it. Your image. The image of you isn't overly attractive.
No.
But
it's
the
nice
package.
Nice to hear from the person that you live with.
The package is quite good.
Well, that is very important. There's some people that look great, but then they open their mouth and there's a sack of shit.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, just to get back to the task. Yeah. So it's what you've actually weirdly brought some notes.
Yeah, I did.
Which I thought was this is great, like a proper kid that's done like a review of the movie.
It's actually a review.
I thought the kids looked in very poor physical condition. when they're the tops off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you had that. Yeah,
yeah, they were like 12 though.
Yeah no, but
no 12-year-old looks. They're not meant to look good.
You're like a shredded 12-year-old.
You want 12-year-olds to look like shit.
Do you want one of those weird, like, 12... You know, you get on, like, YouTube, those kids, these, like, dads have made them lift weights.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, to that level. But I thought there was the fat one. Wasn't there one fat kid, generally fat, sort of donut challenge.
But I think I was probably, when I was about 11, I was probably that size. 12.
I thought he was actually my favourite kid. He had really the cutest face.
Well, I thought the young girl was a bit... I put the young girl can really act. The other kids were just very good at looking fucking scared.
Yeah.
Weren't they? That was their main thing.
They did other stuff, though. They interacted with each other.
Too much gratuitous violence.
Yep.
By the way, imagine one of those kids getting... It's such a funny review from a grown-up to say.
And the old house is on prime real estate, so that would have been redeveloped many years ago.
Well, that's genuinely... It's absolutely a gripe that I had with that film. I was like, as if they'd let that old creepy house go into that state of disrepair.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody would snap that up.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
But not in that town, mate. Who wants to buy a house in bloody town where all these kids are going missing?
The town council wouldn't let that sit there. It's an eyesore.
That's right. They would. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think you've got to suspend some disbelief in a film like that.
No, I do with all the clown shit.
No, not the clown shit. I'm going like, you're in a town where kids are going missing and no one's really trying to find them.
They're putting posters up.
It's a town where the main cop is an arsehole to his own son.
I thought the rock fight was unrealistic. You know, the kid had
probably wouldn't hit the rock. Yeah.
We should have probably given a spoiler alert at the start of this.
Yeah, it wouldn't just bounce off. Like, it hit the kid in the fucking head and it bounced off and he'd go down screaming. I've been hit in the head with a rock.
Totally.
When I was a kid, we used to get snowballs when I lived in England and put a rock in the middle of the snowball.
Oh, God.
And then fucking throw that at some.
Jesus Christ.
Just knock you. I never did that, of course.
Of course you didn't, Trevor.
Other kids.
No, but you're too busy running past women.
But yeah, I agree. That was another bit I thought, come on, that would do more damage than they've put on.
This is the list of inconsistencies. Keep going, Trevor.
But I think there's been better movies than fucking It.
There's definitely been better movies.
Remember Them? That's when they dropped a hydrogen bomb or atom bomb in the desert and the ants started to fucking grow.
Yeah.
And they become absolutely fucking massive.
Yeah. But how massive? Human size or bigger?
Than a caravan, basically.
Oh, right.
Okay. Oh, maybe bigger than a caravan.
Right.
Absolutely giant fucking ass.
A truck.
It's a funny... It's like when that guy farted like a lift. Like, you have such weird comparisons.
Well, a friend of mine who puts a damper on everything, because I loved that. You should watch Them. It's actually online. But I said, what a fucking great movie. He said, yeah, but ants could never get that big. He said, what do you mean? It's fucking impossible because they don't have lungs. They breathe through tubes. So the bigger they got, the less suction would they'd be in the tube. And they couldn't breathe. Right. So ants are limited by their breathing apparatus to the size they can become.
Well, I saw some massive ants in Portugal.
Like, yeah, not as big as a carrot.
No, I mean, obviously, what I'm saying in the ant sort of measurements.
Yeah.
There was ones that were probably about that long, which is, for the listeners, is probably about maybe 1.5 to 2 centimetres long.
Could imagine Trev's a fan because they're good physical specimens.
I admire ants. The bull ants in Australia, we get them called bull ants, big fucking ants, like the ones you saw in Portugal. Yeah. And they're highly industrious and intelligent, and they're survivalists, and they kidnap other ants. The social structure of an ant nest.
What do they do when they kidnap ants? Why do they kidnap
them?
They
put them to work, like fucking.
No,
yeah, they
slaves.
Do. They
slave
raid.
Ants.
They raid. Yeah, they slave ants. Yeah, they raid other ants' nests, capture them. They take the eggs. Actually, what they do, they hold their
eggs ransom.
Yeah, they steal the eggs from the other ants' nest, bring them over to their nest, and when they hatch out, make them fucking like slave labor.
Oh my word!
That's horrible.
What are the crazy big green ants in Australia? I got attacked by.
That's
some.
What we call them. Man. We call them crazy big green. That's their official name.
I walked through a tree. I wasn't paying attention. And I turned
leaf.
And I walked through like a bottom of a tree.
A few branches
hit my ear. And as I was walking, I felt something tickle in my ear.
Yeah.
And I went and I could feel this massive ant on my ear. And I went to pull it off. And it just bit into my top of my ear. I was trying to pull it off. And it was like a little struggle. It wasn't easy. After I had to go like that.
It was just
crazy ant. Green, like about.
I think it's a leaf around. It's nothing to do with leaves. They blend in with leaves. Very hard to see.
He was not letting go of my ear. Bit into it. His little pincers at the front.
He fucking threw it on the ground and stomp it, mate.
I threw it down into some grass. Hopefully, it survived. And just learned its lesson.
Don't attack Carl Donnelly. That's his lesson right there. Know your role. But you weren't scared in the movie. You weren't scared. But then I heard from Benny, who you sit next to. You've got a weird technique for any time it gets scary to avoid getting scared in the movie. He said when you're watching it, if it ever gets scary, you just imagine you're the cameraman.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, if it gets too scary, I just imagine it's a movie and there's a fucking cameraman there, and that
so
diffuses.
You just put yourself in the cameraman's position.
Yes, that's right. So it diffuses
it's really
the whole.
Really good way of doing it.
It diffuses, but then it fucks the movie up because every time you see a movie, you're the fucking cameraman. It ruined every movie, basically.
I do. I've not done it for years, but I used to have this technique. I love horror films. I love watching them. I love it in a way because I do get scared. It's not something. I don't love them just like and sit there totally unaffected.
You get that endorphin.
I love it. I love that moment of like jumping. But when I used to watch really scary films, and you know, I might be on my own watching them. I had this technique where I just blur my eyes. Like when it got really scary, I'd just sit there and blur my eyes.
Oh, really?
So I could just sort of everything was just blurry. It was a weird coping mechanism I had. Such an odd thing to do in a cinema, sitting there, you pay 16 or whatever, sitting there with your eyes blurred just so you can't see everything properly.
Just remember,
but you could just about
you
see
sort
it.
Of go cross eyed.
Yeah, you can do, yeah.
The cameraman is the best.
So weird.
Just imagine.
It's already scary. The movie you turn to the black. He's gone cross-eyed. You're like, oh my god.
Just imagine you're the fucking cameraman. That's the easiest way.
That is a good way. I'll use that.
That's a trend. Future. Just imagine you're the fucking camera. Have you ever taken like women to the cinema on a date? Is that part of your romancing technique?
Well, when I was like a teenager,
take Julia to the cinema.
I do, but I didn't try and do anything.
I heard from someone you had an unusual technique for romancing ladies.
You mean years ago when I was very lonely?
This
is when I was like 30 years old. And very attractive at that age and in good nick, but I couldn't get a woman, see, because I didn't have sex for 5 years, no relationship for 10. So
what was going wrong? You're in physical position.
I was on the dole. I didn't want to fucking work, you know what I mean? So I was a bit of a loser. So I didn't blame women for rejecting me, you know, because they'd come with me and they'd get a few laughs and all that sort of shit. I'd be capable of doing that.
And then you'd be like, can you buy me a pint? I've got no money.
I didn't have a car, you know, I had no fucking money, no job, no apparent future.
That was, by the way, sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but back in the day, in all movies, it always looks like having a car, such a good way to pull a woman in American 80s films.
Yeah, it's a real big
But if you don't have a car, I guess you're a bit like it's sort of seen down.
So I was disadvantaged, apart from my physical appearance and my wit. I was very disadvantaged. Very disadvantaged. So I didn't have a fuck for like years. Literally, didn't have a fuck for years. And a mate of mine said you should join this
horrible way of describing it.
A mate of mine said there's this group called Parents Without Partners. You know what I mean? It's like there's like fucking widows and you know, fucking divorcees, you know, desperate for cock, you know, you're definitely get a root.
It's a different era, guys.
Yeah. So I said, okay, so I made some inquiries, and indeed there was this group called Parents Without Partners.
It's been inquiries. You made it sound like a business deal.
So I thought I had to work my way in there, but you had to have a kid. Yeah, you know, you had to have a child, which I haven't reproduced. I don't think I'm fit for reproducing.
Who was your friend who recommended it? Had he been there? Or
are you actually a Vietnamese vet?
As in an actual, rather than he'd been at war?
No, he'd been at war.
Oh, a Vietnamese.
He'd been at war, yeah.
A Vietnamese bloke.
So he's a bit fucked anyway. Like, yeah. You know,
so he was a Vietnam vet.
Yeah, you get, yeah.
Not Vietnamese.
But was he Vietnamese as well?
No, he was Australian.
Oh, right.
That's right. He'd been in Vietnam fighting a war. Right. Sort of, so he was like my, I wouldn't say he's not my fucking guru, but he used to sort of give me advice. And he said,
Bad advice.
Like who'd been in a war for 7 years.
And so he joined us.
Who to take dating advice off is someone with post-traumatic stress disease.
Do you know who invited you? Tell me who's coming. Rambo actually said, I should just pop down to a good place to meet some ladies.
So anyway, he said, look, I think he was a member as well. He actually was a member.
But was he a real member?
Yes, he was a real member.
He had a child.
But he said, then I went there like to give you interview you, you know, beforehand and whatever, and they said, and then I started to invent a child. So I invented a son.
Yeah.
Called Danny.
Right. Oh my god! How old's Danny?
Tell us about Danny.
Yeah. Well, I think I put the age from memory. It's a long time ago, but I put the age about 7 or 8 something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that. But it was my only child.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You're not your only child, but yeah.
Yeah. So
what was Danny into? Was he what type of kid?
They didn't ask me initially. They didn't. Yes. Oh well. Yeah. I said I've got a son called Danny and blah blah blah. But anyway.
Anyone with a child Danny listening.
But they had these fucking group get-togethers. We had like barbecues and all family get-togethers, and I always be on my fucking own. You know what I mean? So
did everyone else bring their kids?
Yeah, everyone else bring their kids. So they go, they'd go. Well, where's Danny? I was always making excuses. Oh, he's not well. And, yeah.
He's not well.
Yeah, he's not well. Yes,
he's not real.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, sorry, he's not real.
Anyway, he's not real.
And they said
Vietnamese geezer told me to come in.
But then they said after about a month, they're getting a bit suspicious. They go, well, how come Danny never comes fucking anywhere? You know what I mean? And by this time, I was getting a few women. You know what I mean? Like I was in demand.
So just to explain as well. So it's a thing where people. It is sort of like a dating group.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So it's a dating group. I thought it was just is it a social group?
Oh, yeah, well, that's on the surface, but yeah.
What was the mix? How many women, how many men?
Well, I'd say more women than men.
Yeah.
But a bit of women that were well past it.
What was the sort of ratio of them, real children to made up children as well?
Well, I know everyone
who were past it, but men who were also making up children. Let's not judge too harshly on the other people.
But everyone had a child but me.
Yeah, of course, because that's what the group said.
Is it parents or made up parents without partners?
Yeah. Yours is parents without children.
That'd be a great one. Has everyone else got a made up kid?
I painted a very grim picture of Danny. I said he wasn't well and all that kind of stuff. And I usually get sympathy actually initially. Yeah. And
sounds like a sort of Judd Apatow film.
It's like Wedding Crashes, but worse.
Anyway, in the end, they're getting quite suspicious of me and asking me a lot of questions. In the end, I said that Danny couldn't come because he was retarded.
Just when you think it couldn't get worse.
Yeah,
Trev just drops a word and you can't even say.
I said he's retarded and he was living with his mother, who I just didn't get on with. Oh. And that was like the end of the discussion.
Then did you leave?
Discussion. I went another couple of months and then by that time,
you'd got what you...
I fucking shagged everyone.
Oh, God. Trev. Do you look back on that now and sort of judge yourself?
I look back on it as
surely got a couple.
It's a bit unethical. A bit unethical.
Very. Like some people now go, I ain't in that dating. I was horrible. Like people say, young people now are filthy. Yeah. It's good to know that. back in the day.
You were a trendsetter.
But now most of those people are dead and they'd have a different name. Probably now they'd be fucking children without parents.
Yeah.
Because most of them would be dead.
Yeah, it's children without parents. Well, there you go.
What a lovely story.
Yeah, well, that's...
It may have little tidbits in there that are useful, but generally, if you've got a mainstream philosophy book, fucking forget it.
Trev, our individual task this week for you was to... we gave you a copy of The Power of Now, but me and Carl have both read, because we're modern men.
Yeah.
We're cool guys.
I even made some notes in it, put some little highlighting things.
So at the very least, we hoped you'd read the bits Carl had marked out. Did you read them?
I had a glance through them.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, they're out of context, aren't they, really? So I thought I'd rather get the whole picture from the fucking horse's mouth.
Well, then I sent you a YouTube audiobook of Eckhart Tolle speaking.
Yes.
It's quite a weird voice.
Yeah.
Is he Swedish as well?
I don't know where he's from, actually. Yeah. Have you seen him? He looks like his voice sounds. It's quite a
spindly old guy.
A little sort of, he looks like a bit like a frog, weirdly.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's repellent.
Trev's going to round him up.
He's got very thin lips. I don't think you'd be really? You'd be keen on him at all, mate.
His skinny lips at Tolle, mate. That's what they called him before he had this brilliant idea.
Well, his backstory seems that he was having a nervous breakdown of some description, wasn't he? Obviously, if you hear the, full of angst and despair and fucking anxiety.
Yeah.
And then he had an epiphany.
Yeah.
And I think the epiphany was, as I said, it's just everything revolves around Buddhism when you think about it.
Like, well, yeah, a lot of what he talks about, or a lot of his ideas are
It's different religions. He's brought in different... He's sort of taken the, sounds weird, non-religious parts of religion out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like almost the spiritual... So
there's a lot of references in it to the Upanishads, which is the Hindu Bible that's not the really sort of religious one. It's a more spiritual Hindu Bible. It's really good. I've read it. It's really nice.
I think, well, it's all poetic and all the rest of it. And well, how practical is it? So when I read, as I said, I've read Gurdjieff and this bloke, Tolle, how do you say it?
Tolle, I think.
He makes like Gurdjieff does. Gurdjieff made a lot of statements he can't prove. Like Tolle said that inanimate objects have consciousness. Well, you can't possibly fucking prove that, can you?
I mean, then, not to get too scientific, but quantum physics has shown that nothing is inanimate, isn't it? So,
well,
I suppose that's now there's a truth in what you said.
Well, I suppose, but consciousness is having an awareness of yourself. And if you're, let's say, a fucking rock, and you had an awareness that you're a rock, you'd be fucking a rock.
Show that a rock is made up of exactly the same stuff as you.
That's right. Exactly.
Shows that maybe it has got a consciousness. Well, it can't be disproved either. Can it now with the new.
Well, I never discuss personal things in front of the fridge. might be fucking listening. Spreading gossip.
Yeah. Right, that sounds like a sort of bumper sticker or something.
Yeah.
I
don't want the fucking fridge spreading gossip.
Oh, so,
But in front of Danny, do you ever talk?
Yeah. But theoretically, it's true that the atoms that are in your head that create consciousness are in rocks.
Yeah.
That fucking, this table, that maybe that fucking table's fucking...
table's going to start spreading shit about you and your made-up kids.
How can I leave the room because I can't walk?
Yeah, that's true.
It'd be very frustrating being conscious and inanimate. You'd be like rooted to one fucking spot.
Yeah, but I suppose maybe he's alluding to the fact that everything is part of the same consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. Maybe singing.
He's more sort of making a thing, isn't it? It's to help with how you think, the book, right? So he's sort of saying I don't think he necessarily needs it.
Well, he's sort of anti-thinking in a way. He puts everything down to emotions and I think we've evolved to think. I always go on what we've evolved to do. So we've evolved to think because we couldn't fucking survive. It's all very well to... CBT and meditate, but you still have to feed yourself. So you were evolved to think because we wouldn't fucking... You can't sit cross-legged on the fucking ground meditating and survive for that long.
Well, you can't, but there are people that claim to be able to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Breatharians and people like that.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the levitating guys.
No, breatharians are people that claim to not have to have any input. They basically just live on air alone.
Yeah, right.
That sounds like a load of hot air.
Yeah. they jump up.
Wish I'd eat up.
Bloody love those boys. They bloody love hot air.
Fucking transcendental meditation said they could fly.
Yeah, that's bollocks.
So anyway, you go in there and they're cross-legged, but they're fucking jumping. You're on really bouncy mats and it's fucking bouncing everywhere. You go, that's fucking lot of shit, isn't it? Yeah. Really.
Fucking David Blaine.
You give me a fucking uppercut.
But on the thing I, when I read it, thought was quite good is it's all about your ego and stuff. And so as a guy who suffers from anxiety, surely, you know, when you read something like this, which you haven't done, obviously, properly, listen to a bit of it and flick through it, but there's it's always just about sort of noticing. It's just sort of taking a step back and witnessing. These are just thoughts trying to...
Well, he seems to think your brain controls you as opposed to you... controlling your brain. It makes like your mind is possessed and your mind makes you do everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't think that's the case.
But inside, they've now proved like that the sort of time between a thought and an action is... like they've basically worked out that free will is pretty much a myth, isn't it? Like,
yes, it is, yeah.
So you're essentially being driven rather than being the driver, aren't you?
Yeah, well...
These decisions have been made before you justify them to yourself.
Well, I think the analogy is like... I read an analogy for life has been like a game of snooker where, you know, there's the break at the beginning of the game and the balls, they speed off in predetermined directions. Yeah. And once the break's made, there's no change in direction of the balls. You know what I mean? I suppose you call that fate.
Yeah.
That's one analogy.
I thought you were going to say life's like a game of snooker. It's long and boring.
Sometimes you've got to dress smart.
Yeah. It's way more fun when everyone used to drink.
I don't believe in free will, because you're controlled by your genes and the fucking environment. You can't, even if you're a total psychopath, you're born with part of your brain missing.
Yeah,
the part of your brain that gives you a conscience. So then it's not your fault. So you don't have any.
But I mean free will in the sense of decision making. Like saying, say if I say I want a drink of water, I think I've just made that decision.
Yes.
But they've proved that your body's already made that decision. Your brain is just you justifying it to yourself.
Your thought process
is way behind your body's decisions.
So that's
what I mean. Mm. When I suppose someone like Eckhart Tolle, what they say essentially is what we think of as ourself is this noise we hear in our head of us thinking and talking. But actually, that's not us. That's just all the processes. The real us is way behind that. And it's just the energy underneath.
Yeah. I suppose it's very hard to prove any of it. It's like the selfish gene. Have you ever read the selfish gene? That's quite good.
The Dawkins.
About your gene. Yeah, it's all about spreading your genes, and your genes basically control the factors in your life. You do things for your genes to spread your genes. Even kids smile, not because they fucking like you, but that's a survival mechanism. The kid smiling makes you look cute and you pick it up and nurture it.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Whereas if a kid was a miserable little fucking scowling thing, you go, well, fuck that, just leave it there.
Danny would have
been. Danny was a miserable moody little shit of his bloody mum, who's also made up. Yeah, that's right.
Scowling.
Yeah, fucking bitch.
Funny you could make up.
What was your ex-wife called in this?
I didn't name her, actually.
You didn't give her a name?
I didn't give her a name.
She had no name.
But anyway, I read it, and to me, it's a bit of Buddhism and CBT. It's sort of, because it sold 2 million copies, so I'm always a bit... if you were really into the spiritual thing...
You wouldn't be making money out of it.
Well, you'd give it away for nothing, you know what I mean? So I'm always thinking, well, two million...
I agree. I'm quite cynical of the sort of...
He made it very
gurus.
Flowery and poetic, you know, because that's appealing. If you just read the basic... thing about CBT and made it very rational and scientific. You go, well, it's a bit dry and fuck. Wouldn't it be on one page?
But so, I suppose the whole point of that book is about living in the present.
Because anxieties are all about not living in the present.
Every one of your anxieties, and I've had it in the past, like, you know, are about, it's like your fear of death.
Or
your phobia of death.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about the future. It's all about not living in the
present. That's right.
So what did you take anything from that of thinking about trying to change your thought processes to stay present?
I'm in the present now, actually, when I'm with you. I'm in the present now.
Yeah.
When I'm at home, if Julie's not there, I fucking dwell on I'm getting older, I'm going to fucking die, and all this blackness descends on me, or I've got cancer and some shit like that, or maybe I'm a psychopath and don't know it. You know, when you get thoughts, I go, fuck, man.
Well, that's where meditation comes. Meditation's about being able to control your thoughts when you're on your own, isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm a psychopath. Oh, fuck, I shouldn't be thinking that.
Yeah.
And then it gets very dark, doesn't it? Then you go, fuck.
What thought have you had recently that made you think you're a psychopath?
Oh, you might watch a movie and you go, yeah, you'll see the psychopath fucking doing something or thinking something. Well, I fucking think that sometimes. I do, don't you?
But maybe apparently, I'm a fucking psychopath. No, apparently if you think you're a psychopath, you're not a psychopath.
Oh, really?
That's according, that's one of the rules of the psychopath test.
Thanks fuck for that.
Definitely. Did you take any positives from The Power of Now?
Well, because I've heard it all before with Gurdjieff and the whole lot. So yeah.
It's a great way of trying to explain. He's heard it all before.
Yeah.
Well, I think he could have, it's a 7-hour fucking tape.
Yeah.
And I think he could have condensed it to about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. Fair I suppose. Like, really. But then people don't take in stuff in 3.5 minutes.
A bit annoyed
it needs to be reiterated.
A bit annoyed if you'd spent 10 quid in an audiobook and it was 3.5 minutes long.
So I believe in nutshells, because Tom's cheap. Put everything in a fucking nutshell.
Yeah. Believe in nutshells. It's the 2017 version to I Believe in Miracles.
Life's too short. Life's too short.
That's your philosophy. Yeah.
I believe in nutshells and not talking in front of the fridge.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
You know, I mean, like 7 hours is a long time to invest, and you could be out fucking doing other things.
But what would you be doing? You'd just be sitting there on the sofa.
Yeah, that's where it's going to go. You get 7.5 hours.
You say when you sit there on your own,
you
stress and you get anxious. That's what these books are for. You read them and they take up your time out of that stress.
Yeah,
to read something that is ultimately making you think about your own anxiety.
Yeah, but if the cricket was on, I'd go.
Obviously, you got cricket is your form of meditation.
Yes,
which
it is.
Fine.
Isn't it?
That's absolutely valid.
Cricket in the gym.
Yeah, cricket in the gym. I'm trying to get
it's about finding stuff the rest of the
day. That'd be funny if Trev did a book called Cricket in the Gym, The Power of Trev.
Yeah, I Believe in Nutshells.
I Believe in Nutshells.
I Believe in Nutshells.
I Believe in Nutshells. Chapter one, cricket. Chapter two. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So have you done a written one for us?
Yeah, the fucking herb garden. I've done a poem about it. Yeah, the herb garden.
Do you explain in the poem how, can we ask how the herb garden's getting on? Have you bought any seeds yet?
We got herbs in the backyard now.
Okay.
Does that mean the way you said that made it sound like you bought some coriander from a shop?
No. It's ready to go, but I've been busy with this fucking philosophy 7-hour fucking bullshit.
Seven-hour thing that you didn't bother listening to?
Yeah, I know.
What's happened to their seeds in the garden? What's going on?
Yeah, no, the outdoor plant thing is kicking off over the next few days.
Yeah, I knew that was such
a sense. No. Well, I'll definitely
So what? Just talk us through what's been bought and what's going to happen.
As of yet, nothing's been bought and nothing's happened.
Okay,
zero. But yeah.
No, but I've been, because of the...
What was that, mate?
The philosophical
Like a
stuff,
naughty boy.
That's the best part
Were you a massive bunker of work at school? Did you always come up with a bullshit excuse for not doing it?
I never did homework at all.
I bet you didn't. Do you have an excuse as well?
I just didn't. I didn't want to do it. Anyway, the kid next to me... the teacher came up to him and Mr. Legg, actually, he's my teacher at high school, and he said to this bloke, Patterson, I think his name was Patterson, said, Patterson, why didn't you do your homework? And Patterson said, well, sir, we're all going to die. What's the point?
That's good. That's good reason.
He had no comeback to that.
Did he say, what did you say?
Oh, no, I just went, fuck, that's a great philosophy.
All right.
Because I thought, I'll fucking take that on board. Fucking brilliant.
It's a terrible philosophy.
And I never did my homework.
You can say that about anything. It's the worst philosophy
you
could possibly have.
But you know, it's a bit negative, but fuck it, you know. Got me out of homework.
All right, mate.
Hated fucking homework.
Let's hear your herb garden poem.
This is my it's called Outdoor Plants.
Right.
Yeah.
A herb garden, for goodness sakes. Get me a pot, a spade and a rake. Some rosemary, mint and thyme. Whatever is easier to rhyme. A bag of compost, not too big. Just heavy enough for Julia to lift. Hope it don't sound slack, but must be careful with my bad back. I want herbs that are tough, the toughest in town, that can take care of themselves when I'm not around, that don't need pampering and can remain strong, especially when the cricket is on. That's my red line, need I say more, the don't disturb sign will hang from the door. But I will do what I can to make them a winner, to make them fit for my Sunday dinner, to water and nurture whatever the cost. But what can I do about the morning frost? Weather is the enemy and the natural laws. That's why it pays to live indoors.
That's it, mate. That's great. That's it, mate. That's good. Even in that, you made it perfectly clean and put any effort into those herbs.
Yep.
So anyway, Trev, that was well done on the poem. Well, actually,
you did do plenty of homework.
Yeah,
just
I did
not
plenty of
sort
homework,
of what
yeah.
you'd be wanting.
Yeah. Did your own homework.
Did mine.
That's what you need. You need to start setting yourself homework.
Yeah, that's right.
As long as you're keeping the thoughts at bay.
Yeah.
And you don't think you've got daffodil, then we're all good.
Was that it?
Yeah.
That's the
plan. Bye-bye. See you later.
See you, mate. So, that was episode 2. You enjoy that, Carl?
I loved it, mate. There's a lot of funny stuff today.
I mean, the Danny story, although on moral level I object horribly. It was more the fact
it was a different time, Chris.
It was a different time.
Then times were disgusting.
Disgusting and immoral. And just the fact his kid's called Danny. Do you know why? It's a really good name for a fake kid. It's a good made up kid. I'll never trust a Danny in my life.
If somebody's making up a kid, you'd think they wouldn't have called it Danny.
Yeah,
it makes it more believable.
Yeah. What did you like?
I like the philosophy, I believe in nutshells. I want to have that on a t-shirt.
I believe in nutshells.
A fridge magnet, obviously, where you won't discuss anything in front of if you follow Trev's other philosophy.
So next week, we've got what we're going to do from...
we're going to give him control of our...
Control of the babysitting Trevor Twitter.
That's going
to
be...
He doesn't know how to use Twitter. We're going to have to give him a lesson. And then, I mean, I think he can do it because it involves... He likes arguing with people on the internet. Yeah, he has 140 characters.
Yes.
So we'll see if he knows.
So they'll either be zero tweets or loads of tweets. I think there's going to be no middle ground.
Yeah. So we'll do that. And then as a group, we're going to go on a... We're going to have a...
I think maybe a run, a jog, group jog.
Group
and
jog.
And hopefully maybe a 100-meter race.
100-meter race would be fun to do. Be a very slow, bad event that I'd suggest
three
no
of us. Imagine anyone seeing us three just sprinting through
a... Two men in their 30s and a bloke of... ambiguous elder age just running slowly
in a good place.
With spikes on.
Yeah.
But if you've enjoyed it, guys, same as usual, please tell a friend, download it for them.
iTunes.
Grab their phone off them, download
it off them, download it. iTunes, give us ratings, 5 stars, please.
And then obviously go on at babysitting Trev on Twitter. Because Trev will be controlling it.
Yeah, and go on the other one as well. What's it,
Facebook.com/babysittingtrevor
and Instagram
or babysitting Trev.
At babysitting Trev.
Whatever. See you guys next week.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin, and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.